Our gospel for today is the Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace and peace to you from God our Creator and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my very favorite games to play as a kid, and now one of my very least favorite games to play as an adult, is the road trip classic, Are We There Yet? Any Are We There Yet veterans out in the crowd, right? Yeah, that's right. Some parents are raising up their kids' hands. Yeah. Now, I brought this up with our young people in Sunday school as we've been talking through the story of Moses and the Israelites as they've been freed from slavery in Egypt and into the Promised Land. I spend some time with them every week downstairs. We sing songs. We talk about Bible stories. They've been spending this whole year in the story of Exodus, the story of Moses and of God's people. And in between the realities of slavery in Egypt and in the Promised Land, in between there is a lot of wilderness. A whole lot of wandering in the wilderness. And multiple times in their journey, they play the game as old as time. Are we there yet? Our reading from the book of Numbers captures an episode of this today. We hear in the reading, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and we detest this miserable food, which is kind of a funny thing, right? There's no food, there's no water, and this food stinks. It doesn't quite capture it. Doesn't quite ring true. God has been giving them manna and quail daily in the wilderness, but they're kind of getting sick of the manna and the quail. They want some mashed potatoes, maybe a strawberry or two, right? Something, anything but more manna and quail. So there are serpents sent. Perhaps to remind them of how much worse the trip could be instead of just having the same meal every single day. But then the people go to Moses and ask him to pray to God for the serpents to be taken away. And I think this part is really important for us to remember, that God doesn't take the serpents away, right? That's what they pray for. God doesn't take the serpents away, but rather he tells Moses to raise a serpent up, and everyone who looks, or everyone who is bitten, shall look at it and live. So Moses does just that. And Jesus chooses this story from the past of God's people, from the Israelites' history. Jesus chooses this story in our gospel reading for today to reveal who he is to Nicodemus. We pick up right in the middle of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a higher up in the religious elite of the day. He comes to Jesus early on, curious about who he is. But he has to come under the cover of night. so he can hide. No one can recognize him. No one can identify who he is and report back to his bosses that he was seen talking with Jesus. In lots of ways, Nicodemus can be a great stand-in in this story for us. Have you ever had a time where you've been in a spot where you had to project a certain confidence or a certain position outwardly, but inside you were like, I don't know if this is really the right thing? Right? Nicodemus is a public figure. Nicodemus would be known in the community. He'd have to project a certain confidence in the status quo, a confidence in the position of the religious elite. But maybe inside he's like, I don't really know if this is it. Have you ever been in a position where the words you have to say in public don't really match your private thoughts? It can cause a real struggle, right? When you have to toe the company line, but inside something about it just feels off. This is Nicodemus. Right? He doesn't want to hurt his reputation. Doesn't want to throw away all of the years of study and time he's spent building up that kind of relational and social capital in the community. But he also wants to know more about Jesus. And he and Jesus have this exchange. And it's clear that he's not able to grasp quite what Jesus is talking about. He's trying, but he's not able to quite grasp what Jesus is talking about. So Jesus refers back to the story of Moses from Numbers, something Nicodemus would have known well. Just as Moses lifted up the servant in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, Jesus tells him. And Jesus is playing with a little bit of double meaning here in his conversation with Nicodemus, right? Lifted up is telling the story of both the serpent being lifted up in the wilderness and about the coming story that Jesus will experience when he's arrested, lifted up on the cross, and crucified, as well as being that very moment that he's exalted. He's raised to new life, that he brings all of us raised to new life, that he ascends to the right hand of God. There's a lot of lifting up that happens throughout the story of Jesus. And one of the things that's central to Jesus throughout the whole gospel is that it's at that kind of darkest moment, at that most humiliating time of being lifted up on the cross, that we most clearly see the love of God shining. And then as the story goes on, as the conversation continues between Jesus and Nicodemus, we come to one of my favorite verses, one that we're all familiar with, one that I think tells the story of Jesus so clearly. One of the most famous verses from John chapter 3, talking, of course, of John 3:17, right? Everyone's favorite. John 3:17, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We're taught from an early age to view this whole conversation with Nicodemus in light of our perceptions of the afterlife, but Jesus is talking very much about the present time. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. When Jesus talks about eternal life in the Gospel of John, he's not talking about a quantity of life, but rather a quality of life, an abundance, an overflowing of life. Words like eternal and abundant aren't meant as an expression of the amount of time in our life, but rather about the fullness of life in our time. That's what Jesus means when he talks about abundant life, a fullness of life here and now. It's about moments in our lives where we feel the presence of God so fully that it feels like our cup is overflowing. The Son of Man has come into the world offering full and abundant life here and now. This is the light shining into the world in which the darkness could never overcome. Here's why I think that detail about God not taking away the serpents is so crucial. God's people go to Moses praying for relief. And relief comes, but the serpents are still there, right? Just like in Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, we hear that the light has come into the world, but it doesn't mean that darkness no longer exists. And if we're honest, what Jesus says in verse 19 can sometimes be true about us too. Sometimes we prefer the darkness. Sometimes it's easier to hide away. Sometimes it's easier just to not be seen, to not be known, to just go about our life by ourselves. Sometimes it can feel safer that way. Like we're risking less just hanging back in the darkness, letting the light shine on other people. And yet Jesus calls us to embrace something different. What God says is that in the middle of the serpents, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the sin or the brokenness or the loneliness or the pain, I will lift up for you what brings you life. I will lift up a bronze serpent for the Israelites, which will give them life. Jesus will be lifted up so that in the middle of whatever comes our way, there will be a clear sign that God has come into our world not to condemn, but to save. I love that every week we get to come into a space gathered around the cross, gathered around a symbol lifted up, of the abundant and eternal life that Jesus gives us. And this is not a salvation that waits for someday, sometime in the future, but is open to us here and now when we look to that empty cross of Jesus, raised up and leading us forward, trusting in the mercy and the love of Jesus to be everything we need, no matter what kind of wilderness we may be wandering through. So the next time we're tempted to look at the abundant life Jesus offers and ask, are we there yet? We can remember that it's been ours the whole time. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.